If you've been with us as a church, we've been going through the Gospel of John. And before we go into that, I'd just like to say thank you for Pastor Mark Butcher for leading communion. As I said, we've been reading out of the Gospel of John. And today we'll be reading out of John chapter 11, starting at verse 17 and going through 37. And as you are turning to that, I'd like to tell you about June 2011. In 2011, this may reveal my age of being pretty young, but I was going to be a junior in high school. And in June, why this month is so specific is that my grandparents were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary 2 months early, and we went on a cruise to Alaska. I was pretty pleased to go along to be a part of it, although in June it's still pretty cold in Alaska. I remember one night getting down to the 40s, maybe even the day. And this time of celebrating my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary was just a memory that I have cherished. About a week after that cruise had finished, though, my dad received a call that my grandfather had been placed in the hospital. See, he went in with heart troubles. They didn't know what. They did some tests, and they found out that he had a leaky valve, that blood was seeping out where it was not supposed to. The doctor suggested that he needed to go for surgery, and we had two choices. We could either go to Montana somewhere, I think it was maybe Billings, or the other one was Sioux Falls. Well, Sioux Falls to us is a lot closer, and so we chose Sioux Falls to go to. And so about a week or two after this incident, our family drove to Sioux Falls to support my grandfather in his surgery. The surgery was planned to be about 4 hours long. And as we waited in the entryway of the waiting room, playing pinochle and cards and trying to pass the time, about 4 hours passed by, and the surgeon comes out. He says the plan of the surgery did not work as we thought it would. We need to actually replace the valve. In that, another 4 hours went by. He was in the operating room for a total of 8 hours. When we finally got to see him, he was in a state that most people do not want to see your grandparents in. He had a ventilator, and he just didn't look himself. About a day or two after the surgery, he developed an infection in his blood, an infection that reached his heart. For the next 2 weeks, it was very frustrating, emotional, and tiring. There was a point of hope within these 2 weeks that I actually got to see my grandfather be off the tube, up in his bed, upright in his bed. He couldn't speak because his throat was so sore. It was dry. But I remember one moment very specifically where he points at me. And he goes, he cannot speak. And at this moment, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to hear him whisper for the first time. He's going to try to whisper something. And so I lean in to hear something. He did not want to whisper. But what he did, I will cherish to this day. He leaned in and kissed me on the forehead. I can still remember his whiskers scratching me. It is a memory I will not forget. That night, the infection spread worse. his condition took a 180, and he passed away that next day. See, we all have had loved ones that have passed away. Whether unexpectedly or in difficult ways. In this time where my grandfather passed away, I could not find comfort. I just didn't have comfort. And the question that arises is, can we find comfort in the midst of death? Can we find comfort in the midst of death? Can we find relief in the midst of sorrow? This is a question we all have to wrestle with sooner or later. Can we find comfort in the midst of our pain and loss? As I said, we'll be reading out of John chapter 11. But before we get in, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would lead us in your word. I pray, Lord, that you push all of who I am to the background and all of you to the forefront to lead this message. Lord, to teach us, to instruct us, to convict us, to comfort us. I pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 11, starting at verse 17, says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said, 'I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.' Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not he open the eyes of the blind man and also have kept this man from dying?" If you remember last week, Pastor Steve talked about death that brings God glory. And it was a great message. If you did not listen to it, I encourage you to go back. It was very challenging, to say the least. But where Pastor Steve left off in his text is verse 16. It says, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Very encouraging words that Thomas says, but you got to realize in the chapter before, in chapter 10, when he's in Jerusalem, Jesus proclaims himself to be the Son of God, to be equal with God, and yet, what do? They pick up stones, and they try to kill him, and a little later on, they actually try to arrest him. And Jesus says, "Let's go to that place." His disciples are thrilled, I bet, to hear that. Some commentators think that Thomas is like, "Yeah, let's do it. We're going to die with him," and sounding heroic. Some think maybe he's being a little sarcastic. Maybe a little bit of both. But we see in verse 19 that Jews had come to console Martha and Mary concerning their brother. See, this word Jews has a connotation that probably some of them had traveled from Jerusalem, some of them in which probably had a rock in their hand or the thought of arresting Jesus. During this time of mourning, at least 10 would come to the mourner, in this case, Martha and Mary, at least 10 would come to comfort them. They had a 30-day period of mourning. And the first 3 days is called the days of weeping. And during these 3 days of weeping, right when the tomb is shut, the comforters would bring the mourners to their house, have them sit in the house, thus we see Mary is sitting, and be around him, around them, and just weep. For 3 days, just weep. And those who are mourning weren't really allowed to do anything. They weren't allowed to eat their own food. In fact, people had to bring them food. They weren't even allowed to say hello when someone waved at them. They were supposed to do nothing. After the 3 days of weeping is the 7 days of lament, followed by the 20 days of sorrow. We find that Jesus comes to them on the first day of lament. When Martha hears that Jesus has come, she gets up and runs. She comes to him, saying these words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Pretty powerful words to say to Jesus. But we need to realize that Martha and Mary, who both say the same thing, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died," did not have the end of the story as we do. Actually, if you think of probably the past 2 weeks, maybe a week, you find that Martha and Mary, two sisters, are at the bedside of their dying brother, nursing him to be alive. And they actually send a messenger to Jesus. They're waiting upon Jesus' arrival. And it's 4 days after he dies that Jesus shows up. They are tired. They are emotional. And they are frustrated. Similar to that of my family with my grandfather. This is the setting that we come into. But it's interesting. Not only are they tired and frustrating, but I believe because they both say the same thing, they were pondering upon the fact that Jesus had not come yet. And if I may say, in our times of trouble, in our times of sorrow, in our times of misfortune, we often ponder upon the things that we cannot change. And these things we ponder upon do nothing to change actually the circumstance, the reality of the matter. It's still the same as it is. And this actually can lead to unhealthiness of doubt, of discouragement, of depression. See, we need to press forward to release our path and hold to the present in a way that changes our future. It's interesting what Martha says next. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. See, Martha changes her attitude a little bit here. It's more of, I'm emotional, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, but God, even now I know. Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. It's almost like a little glimpse, will you still heal my brother? A little hope. See, Martha knew. She held on to what she knew. In the times of sorrow and the times of pain, we often feel the exact opposite of what we believe. See, she was holding on to what she knew. She actually says it twice in the text. Verse 21, it says, Lord, if you had been here, verse 22, even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She says it twice. She holds on to what she knows in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain, in the midst of death. She clings to who Jesus is and what she knows about Jesus. Even if she does not know the whole truth about the matter. Verse 25, Jesus states, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm just going to stop there. Martha did not understand the entirety of the resurrection. Jesus had to clarify that. See, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, he is the hope that our loved ones will rise again. He is hope that we will rise again. He is hope that we all will have eternal life. If Jesus is not present, then the resurrection and the life, or with the life, is not present. We see in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 is one of the few texts in the Old Testament that mention the resurrection. It says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life. Those, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. It is the belief of who Jesus is that comforts us in the midst of death. It is not something that we can do. It is not something we have to be. It's the fact that of who Jesus is, that in the midst of death, there is life and resurrection. I just think this is awesome. He states who he is. He is the resurrection and life. But if you go down to verse 27, Martha completes it too. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. What is he coming into the world to do? To save us from sin and death. It is in who Jesus is that we have comfort in the midst of death. Do you believe this? That is his question. Do you believe this? See, Jesus demands a response. It's either yes or no. You cannot be passive when it comes to the belief in Christ. There's no middle ground. You can't be like, well, you know, it seems nice, but I don't know if I want to believe that, but I don't know if I want to come over here. You know, I'm just going to stay in no man's land. No. We see in Daniel 2 that there's a resurrection of the dead that brings life, and a resurrection of the dead that brings eternal shame and contempt. Being passive leads to the same as answering no. I like Martha's response. It says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." But I'm going to nerd out a little bit, if that's okay. In the Greek, this word believe is actually a perfect tense. And what this brings is that it should have a have. I have believed. Meaning Martha has believed in the past and is continuing to believe right now. And let me challenge you on this. Have you believed in a way that continues to have an impact on your life? Are you believing in a way that in the midst of doubt, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain, is still impacting you during this time? Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Son of God, that you are the Messiah, the Christ, that you are the resurrection and the life. It is her belief in Jesus that gives her comfort in the midst of death. It is the belief of whom Jesus is that gives us comfort in the midst of death. As we continue on, verse 28, we see this phrase after Martha goes to Mary and says to her in private, the teacher is here and is calling you. Take a moment right here and just say, if Jesus is calling you, you go. If Jesus is calling you, you go, whether it's calling you to go somewhere or even calling you to stay. If Jesus is calling you to serve in a ministry or to serve in the ministry, or if Jesus is calling you to serve in the community, is calling you to serve in the church, you go. You just go. The second thing we see here is that when Jesus comes upon Mary, we get the same response. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus looks upon Mary and the other Jews weeping. And he's greatly moved by that. He's greatly comforted. They're greatly troubled by that. I don't know about you, but I find comfort that the Lord is troubled about the same things I am in the midst of pain, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of death. He said, "Where have you laid him?" "Come and see, Lord," they said. It was at that point that Jesus wept. And let me tell you something. Jesus did not weep because Lazarus had died. He already knew that. That's the whole reason they're there, to glorify God in his death. But the reason why he was weeping was the fact that he saw the impact of pain and sorrow upon Mary and Martha and all the Jews' life. And let me tell you this, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, mourns with you in death. What a great king that is, that he is present with you in your suffering, in your loss. He is present with you in the midst of your pain. Truly, he is the great comforter. If you look at Isaiah, it talks about this list of who the Messiah will be. And one of them is comforter. Maybe you're going through a time of loss, a time of a struggling marriage, a time of rebellious children, a time of wondering where your next paycheck is coming from. It's bothering you. You're often up at night thinking about it, weeping about it. Know that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the resurrection and the life, is weeping with you. And what comfort that is. It is because of whom Jesus is that what he does brings comfort. He cares for you. Know that. Jesus Christ cares for you. As we conclude here today, let it be known that it's because of our belief in whom Jesus is that we find comfort in the midst of death, in the midst of sorrow. It is because of that belief that allows us to partake in the resurrection and the life. If you have not made that commitment of belief in Jesus Christ, I pray that you put your trust upon him now. There's no time like the present. I pray that you believe upon the Jesus and who he is and who he proclaims to be. Put your trust upon him now and know him as Savior and Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, your Son is the resurrection and the life. Lord, I pray that we receive him gladly into our lives, knowing that he comforts us in the midst of pain, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of loss. You have sent your Son to redeem us, to resurrect us and give us life, to partake in everlasting life. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room right now that's hurting. They're going through loss, Lord. Comfort them, knowing that Jesus Christ is weeping with them. That Jesus Christ has given them resurrection and life for those who believe upon him. Father, as we go here today, let us be willing, let us be able to live a life, to believe in a way that impacts us. And I pray, Lord, that each one of you, each one of the people in this room would be encouraged by your word. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.